Proof, the novel by Dick Francis, dramatized by Ernest Dudley, with Nigel Havers as Tony Beach. Part 6.
After spending the day with Flora at Martineau Races in the company of the extraordinary Orkney Swale, I chewed over the fat with Gerard in the evening, absorbing the news that Flora's son, Charter Jr., may have returned from Australia, and trying to make sense of his diary. I'd told Gerard about Emma's death, not something I usually talked about, but it had helped somehow. The new day crept into the world at about the level of my perception of it, dull, overcast, lifeless. Flora came breathlessly into my shop soon after I'd opened it. I was in my office, wrestling with the accounts.
Tony, dear, I want you to have this. Oh, now, where is it? I put it in my handbag. It's just I wanted to thank you for all that you've done.
But really, I owe you so much.
Well, you've coped with everything, especially
Orkney. Now, there's no need. I enjoyed it.
Oh, I've got it.
What is it?
Open it, dear, and see. Oh, I do hope it's what you want. Oh, dear.
Well, I'm sure it is, but I really don't deserve
it,
Flora.
Now, don't argue. It's for you.
Gift wrap, too, eh?
It's very small. And I know it isn't Christmas yet, and I expect you've got one already, but I'll have my hands full when Jack's home, so I thought I'd bring it in now.
Oh, it's a penknife. Flora, that's just what I wanted.
Oh, Tony. Oh, but you have to give me a kiss, in exchange, or something. Well, a penny it used to be, or it'll cut short your good luck.
Oh, A silver penknife, thank you so much.
It's very sharp. It's not a Boy Scouts one with 13 blades and a hook for taking stones out of horses' hooves. Though it has got a screwdriver.
Yes, my God, it is sharp.
Well, don't cut yourself.
You know, I've got one, but it's old and blunted. I tell you, this is just what I need. I love it. Very elegant. Thanks so much.
Oh, you are sweet, Tony. Oh, I'm so glad. It's awfully difficult buying presents, especially for people you care for. So don't lose it.
No, of course I won't.
Now, what I wanted to talk to you about was, well, of course, I've had to tell Jack about Junior.
And so?
Well, he reminded me of something I'd quite forgotten, which could explain why Junior was at Martineau Park.
His diary? He wants you to get it back. Hmm?
Diary?
That's right.
How did you know about it?
Well, I'm learning things.
Oh, he always kept a diary full of silly secrets, you know, when you're young.
Yes, I know. You see, he left it behind. His father found it.
But it wasn't that. No, Jack reminded me that Junior knew Larry Trent. You see, Kenneth, Junior's father, used to be interested in horse racing.
Oh, well, that can't be bad.
He gambled a bit and then wanted to become an owner. Oh, horses are in his blood, that sort of thing, and that's how Jack and I first met.
Are horses in Junior's blood, too?
No, they're not, as a matter of fact. It's a pity. I always felt if it had been, well, oh, anyway.
But why should he turn up at Martineau Park? Because he was a friend of the late Larry Trent?
Well, perhaps he'd heard he'd been killed at the party and wanted to know how it happened.
Yes, that's a possibility. But why didn't he try to see you?
It could have been because of Orkney.
Orkney?
Well, he was a friend of Larry Trent's.
Yes, I know. He mentioned it yesterday. But why should he have scared off Junior?
Well, it could be if he knew about whatever Junior's been up to.
Orkney knows he's your son, is he?
Well, Larry Trent may have told him. People know I've been married before. They know I've got a son.
Flora, what do you want to talk to me about?
What do you mean?
May I ask you something? Have you spoken to Junior since his return? I mean, has he contacted you? Flora, I'm so sorry. Try not to let it upset you, please.
He's not bad, really. He just does silly things. I tried to tell him that I loved him, Tony. I always will. I only want to help.
Yes, I know. Of course, of course. And I'll do all I can.
Oh, you're so good and kind.
Now, what did he say?
What?
When he phoned. He did phone, didn't he?
Yes.
About his diary. He phoned about his diary, didn't he?
Well, it is his.
And what's his he wants back, hmm?
That's what he said. It's private property. It belongs to him.
Yes, I can hear him saying it. And you've got to get it for him?
He thinks you've got it, Tony.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
Well, what gave him that idea?
Well, you have got it, haven't you?
What gave you that idea?
Well, I know his father hasn't because he told me.
Hmm. Charter told you himself? When was this?
Well, he didn't tell me exactly.
Well, how did he put it?
Kenneth, Junior's father.
Well, that's who we're talking about. Now, come on, spell it out in plain, simple words so I can understand.
Oh, Tony, you do go on at me. Well, it was after Junior called me.
Well, that was last night?
Yes, about midnight. And he told me he was desperate. He must get his diary back. It was his, and he wanted it. He was so upset. He was sobbing over the phone. It was life and death, he said.
Now, try to relax, Flora.
That's why he came to Martineau Park. Then he saw Orkney and you. And he asked who you were. I said you were a friend.
So you had quite a long, cozy chat.
Oh, you don't understand. Poor Junior, he sounded so... Oh, it was awful. He needed sympathy and love.
So, after he got all this information out of you, you spoke to his father?
Yes. Yes, I phoned him straight away, and he said he hadn't got it, and if he had, he wouldn't have given it to me.
Yes, I can understand that.
So that meant he'd given it to Gerard. But the security man, and you're helping him. So I put two and two together, and... Well, I had this idea that you might have it. Well, you know how my mind works, Tony.
Yes, yes. You see, it mustn't get in the hands of the police.
Police? Is Junior... Is he in bad trouble? Something serious?
Not if he keeps a low profile. Now, that's why his father brought in Gerard. To keep Junior out of trouble. That's why he was hoping he wouldn't come back from Australia.
Tony, what has he done? Something dreadful's happened, hasn't he?
No, 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 not really.
I know he didn't mean it. He just does these silly things. There is nothing bad about him.
So long as he backs off, stays away, everything will be okay. That's what Gerard would want you to do, to make sure Junior gets the message to keep away.
And it's to do with the diary?
Yes.
How?
Well, it's got some... It's got names in it, which it shouldn't have.
What, names which could be used against Junior?
If it got into the wrong hands.
But you'll take care of that, won't you, Tony? You'll see it doesn't.
Yes, of course I will. That's what his father has asked Gerard to do. To clear it all up without Junior getting into further trouble. And that's what he'll do, all right? Okay.
All right. Oh, Lord. Now I'll be late at the hospital. I'm just on my way there.
How is Jack?
Oh, in a vile temper. Apparently, the doctors won't let him come home for several days yet. They've put a rod right down inside the bone to make sure it's all settled before they let him use crutches.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Never mind. We'll soon be back to normal. Once Jack's home, the owners will start coming again, and some of them drink like fish, though I shouldn't say it. So we'll need more drink whenever you've got time, dear.
Yes, of course.
Jack says he's going to add it on their bills as medicine for the horses. Well, you can't blame him, can you?
No, not in the least.
You won't let anything happen to Junior, will you?
The day continued more or less normally. After Mrs. Palissy left early with the deliveries, I kept shop, ever smiling as usual, and thinking when I could. Shortly after 8, Gerard walked in, looking tired.
Can't you shut this damn place? Come out and eat?
Yes, I suppose so.
Somewhere quiet. I want to talk.
Well, we could take a Chinese back to my house, if you'd like. There's a good takeaway right next door.
Sounds good.
I just need to fiddle with the till and lock up. I won't take long.
Fine. I'll buy the food while you're doing that. What do you recommend?
Well, crispy duck, Peking prawn and beef in oyster sauce.
What wine would you drink with that?
Bergerac. Côte de Ventoux, perhaps. Gerard followed me home in his Merc and came into the house bearing Sung Lee's fragrant parcels. We had joyfully planned that house, Emma and I. The conversion of a cottage and barn, both of them falling down, had taken 5 years, done in stages, as we could afford it. Now I mostly live just in the sitting room, with a wine rack and glasses lazily to hand. We ate sitting in two comfortable chairs, our plates balanced on our knees, sipping a 1978 Napa Cabernet Sauvignon.
It's come a long way, this wine.
Mm. California's growing grapes like crazy, and their best wine is world class.
Mm. It's pleasant enough, but I honestly couldn't tell it from any old plonk. A terrible admission, but there you are.
Well, that's just what the Silver Moon Dance and Paul Young ordered, customers like you.
I'm in the majority.
Doesn't matter. Liking wine at all is the main thing.
Many people might have preferred the fake wine at the Silver Moon Dance to the real stuff.
Absolutely. Mm. The real thing tends to be demanding, but once you know it, you grow to appreciate it. Mm. Mm. I mean, the fake may be superficially pleasanter, but light without the body or force of, say, a really good Santa Steff.
Take your word for it. I've often wished I knew more about wine.
Well, stick around. You know, I have a notion that the fake wine is just as important to us as the fake scotch at the Silver Moon Dance.
How come? It's Charter's scotch we're after.
Right, but the link is the bottling. Now, each load of Charter's had enough scotch to fill approximately 50,000 standard bottles.
That's a hell of a lot. Three loads means 150,000. You can't mess about with that in the backyard.
Mm. It sounds a lot, but assuming the stuff is being bottled and not just pumped into a ditch, that amount isn't enough to keep any reasonable plant in operation for anything like 6 months. I mean, a small chateau will bottle that much in a few weeks without blinking.
So?
So what if in between times the whiskey bottling changed over to wine? To Silver Moon Dance wine, to be precise.
Ah. Carry on.
With a bottling plant, it would be easy to fill any shape of bottle from a single source of wine, and the shapes of the Silver Moon Dance bottles fitted the labels. The very fact that there were both scotch and wine under false labels at the Silver Moon Dance indicates, well, a simple explanation is, they were bottled in the same place.
Where?
Well, there's the rub.
Any ideas?
Well, remember what Charter said about bottling plants having a hard time these days?
Mm-hmm.
Well, perhaps we're looking for a plant that went bust, you know, when the French started bottling more of their own wines. I mean, if you were on the verge of bankruptcy and someone came offering work, even if you knew it were crooked, you might well do it.
Hmm, it's possible. So, a bottling plant.
Yeah.
You really love wine, don't you?
Yes. Nature's magical accident.
What?
Well, the fungus on grapes turns the sugar in grape juice into alcohol. The result is delicious. Hmm. No one could have invented it. It's just there. A gift to the planet.
But there are all sorts of different wines.
Oh, sure. Because there are different sorts of grapes. But a lot of champagne is made from black grapes. So you see, things may not be as they seem, which should please you as a detective. Eh?
As a detective, what pleases me is proof.
If you mix a liquid with gunpowder and ignite it, and it burns with a steady blue flame, there's your proof.
Proof of what?
Proof that the liquid is at least 50% alcohol. And that's how they did it 300 years ago, when they first put a tax on distilled spirits. 50% alcohol, 100% proved. Huh? And now they measure it with hydrometers. Less risky than fire and gunpowder, I should say.
Gunpowder is something we don't need.
By the way, Charter Jr. has made contact with Flora.
Eh?
Yes, I saw her this morning. He'd rung her.
Then he definitely is back in England.
Well, it seems so.
What did he want?
Huh. His diary. It seems he's pretty desperate.
Oh, that figures. After all, it ties him in with Larry Trent's brother, and if Larry's brother is who I think he is...
The gent with a liking for black Rolls Royces and plaster of Paris. David something or other.
Mm-hmm. Also known as Paul Young.
Quite. Mm. Then Young Jr. knows he's been mixing with a very nasty man indeed, assuming he's heard all about the end of poor Mr. Zarak.
And he won't be keen for a diary giving times and places of meetings with Paul Young to get into the wrong hands.
Well, Flora was anxious that I should see that it doesn't.
No problem. We're answerable to Kenneth Charter. And all he wants is an end to the hijacking of his scotch.
Hello?
Hello? Mr. Beach?
Hello, Mrs. P.
I thought it wasn't you. In the shop.
What do you mean?
Someone's got in. I left my glasses, you see, and I needed them. And I saw this van at the back, and they'd opened the door.
Okay, Mrs. P. Now don't you go in.
No.
Stay well away. Go home.
Shall I phone the police?
You can do that, then go home. I'll take care of everything.
Yes, Mr. B.
I'll get your glasses for you.
Oh, Mr. B, never mind that.
What is it?
A break-in at the shop. Mrs. Pannacy went back for her glasses and saw someone around at the back.
Where was she phoning from?
Telephone box down the road. She's going to ring the police.
Come on, then, let's go.
What, your car or mine?
Mine. Your old banger's no good in an emergency like this.
Right.
Come on, you swine.
Can I make a suggestion?
Useful?
Could be. Try a bit of choke.
It's a Merc, Tony. It's automatic.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry about that.
Oh, wouldn't you know? Bloody hell. There we are. Never let you down, you know.
Oh, really?
What is it they say? Vorsprung durch Technik.
Is that what they say?
That's what they say.
What does it mean?
No idea.
No, I don't know what this little affair has to do with you anyway. I mean, probably just a run-of-the-mill break-in. Nothing to do with our tanker friends at all, I don't imagine.
Possibly not. But just in case. You ever had a break-in before?
As a matter of fact, no. Left. It brings you up behind the shop.
Right.
But that's it on the left. Pull up here.
They've got a van parked in your yard. They're coming out.
Bastards, they're stealing my wine.
Stay in, Tony. Leave it to the police. They'll be here any minute.
Like hell. That's my wine!
Stay out of here!
Back off, you!
Do what he says, Tony. He's got a gun.
I'm not going to stand here and watch you rip me off, you sod! Back off or I'll blow you to hell.
Oh, Jesus, it's the cops. Let's go, for Christ's sake.
You're not going anywhere.
For God's sake, Tony!
Get out of my way.
You go to hell!
All right, you bastards. You asked for it.
The van rocketed past Gerard's Merc, swerved past the police car, and disappeared up the road, its rear door swinging open, showing three or four cases of wine within. The other member of the gang lay face down on the road. Whether by accident or design, he'd taken the blast of the shotgun as he tried to jump into their van. The windscreen of Gerard's car was completely shattered, and he was nowhere to be seen. I walked over with rising dread and opened the door.
Ah, there you are. I ducked. Just in time.
Thank God for that.
The police are here, and you yourself are alive, I observe.
Yes.
Could have been worse.
Look, I'm so sorry. It was my fault, but they were stealing my wine.
Which wine in particular, do you think?
Oh, yeah, good question. Let's go and have a look, eh? Well, I can tell you one thing. They were not ordinary thieves.
Thought not, somehow.
They were stealing only the sorts of wines I tasted at the Silver Moon Dance. The wines which weren't what their labels said.
Didn't you buy those wines? I mean, the actual ones you tasted?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, Zarek must have thought I took them away with me, but in fact, the police still have them. Presumably, Zarek had time to tell Paul Young about that before he got plastered. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's a terrible joke. I think hysteria is beginning to set in.
I think so. Understandable. Not every day one is shot at.
Well, it must have happened to you before.
A few times.
Ever been hit?
Twice. Why did you buy the wines?
Well, for the labels. To see if the labels themselves were forgeries. And they were. Look, I really am sorry about all this, Gerard. I could have got us killed.
So you should be. Stupid.
Yes, sorry.
Ah, here you are, sir.
Oh, evening, Sergeant Ridger.
Glad to see you're in one piece. A bit close for comfort, I understand.
Yes, indeed it was. Oh, look, this is Mr. McGregor, by the way. It's his car with a shattered windscreen.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Sergeant.
I don't suppose you got the number of the van the thieves drove away in?
No, I'm afraid not. I was, otherwise engaged, really.
Pity.
I did. It was a grey Bedford van, brown lines along the side, number WWO229. A.
Ah. Excuse me, sir. This is Detective Sergeant Ridger at the Little Tyford Wine Shop. The suspect drove away in a grey Bedford van, brown lines along sides. Number, Whiskey Whiskey Oscar, 229 Alpha. Repeat, grey Bedford van, number, Whiskey Whiskey Oscar, 229 Alpha. The suspect is armed and dangerous. Over.
That was pretty observant of you.
Oh, well, I've done this sort of thing before.
Description of the man, sir.
Yes, let me think. He was wearing a wig. It was a fuzzy black wig. Uh-huh. Also, he had a heavy black moustache.
And his voice, sir?
Well, it was sort of muffled. I don't know. But
what, sir?
It could have been Paul Young. See, he had the same build.
Was he left-handed, sir?
Was that?
Well, was he holding the gun in his left hand?
Oh, I see. Well, I can't say. It was all too quick, I'm afraid.
Did you notice, sir?
No, Sergeant Richard, I'm afraid not.
Yeah, but they were after the wines, the identical ones we took from the Silver Moondog.
You mean if you had those wines here at your shop, they would have vanished?
Oh, yes, yes. Do you still have them tucked away at the police station?
We have indeed, sir. In fact, one of the constables found this, sir, tucked into one of the cases the thieves left when they scarpered. It may be quite useful. It seems to be a precise list of what they were after.
Do you think I could have a look at it?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks very much. Good Lord. That's exactly what it is. Saint-Estèphe, Saint-Emilion, Rue Saint-Georges.
Hmm. Particularly interesting if it happens to be Paul Young's handwriting.
Do you remember when he wrote his name and address, Sergeant? He held the pen so awkwardly?
Oh, yes, sir.
Writing in short, sharp, downward strokes?
That's right, sir.
Yes. Well, I only saw his handwriting briefly, of course. But it seems to me it looks pretty similar.
I think you're right. Mr. Wilson will be pleased.
Oh, excuse me, Sarge. We've got an ID on the wounded man out front.
Yes, Constable.
Kenneth Charter, Chelsea address, age about 19 or 20, I reckon.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
What's that, sir?
Nothing. It's just, very young to be mixed up in stuff like this.
Not these days. What's his condition?
Well, pretty bad. The ambulance is on its way, but I don't give a lot for his chances.
Well, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I'll go and see how we're getting on tracing that van. You had a lucky escape, Mr. Beach. There are 300 pellets in a shotgun cartridge, and I assume they were heading for you till this Mr. Charter stepped into the firing line. Well, good night, gentlemen.
Good night, Sergeant.
Oh, my God.
It's not your fault, Tony. Don't let it get to you.
You won't let anything happen to Junior. Those were Flora's last words to me this morning.
You are not responsible.
I thought it best to keep our Charter connection out of it for the time being.
Yeah, that was quite right. Though it's bound to come out now, sooner or later. But then, Charter Junior's good name isn't relevant anymore.
No, no. Look, I can't face ringing Flora tonight.
I imagine the police will trace his father pretty easily, so Flora will know soon enough.
I took a taxi home and let myself into the cottage. The second time in a week I'd gone back there with my mind full of horrors. Emma, I thought, for God's sake, help me. I walked through the empty rooms, knowing perfectly well she wasn't there, but desperately in need of someone to talk to love me, as she had done. I swallowed some aspirin and sat in my accustomed chair in the sitting room and told myself to be sensible. I'd been robbed, so what? Come uncomfortably close to being shot, so what? Without Emma, none of it much mattered. Get a bloody grip on things, I told myself. I switched off the lights and went to bed.
In Proof by Dick Francis, Nigel Havers played Tony Beach, George Parsons, Gerard, Jennifer Piercy, Flora, Sheila Grant, Mrs. Palissy, Stuart Organ, Paul Young, Kim Wall, Charter Jr. and the police constable, and Stephen Hattersley, Sergeant Ridger. Proof is directed by Matthew Walters.